Well, good morning, everybody. As Tim had mentioned, we would like to start and take a look at the book of Daniel this morning. There's really no better place, I don't think, to begin to look at the book of Daniel than in the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. So perhaps we'll start there this morning for one quick verse. Particularly just concentrating on the end of one particular verse, a phrase from Scripture I am sure that everyone is quite familiar with. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells his readers to be content with what you have, because the last statement of Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "The Lord, He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Father, this morning we thank you for the opportunity to be together. Thank you for the chance to open your word and look into it. Pray as we do so, you would guide and bless. Your spirit would help us this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of Daniel, Tim said, long waited for, and that's about the truth. I appreciate Tim and Scott and their quick moving around of some things as we struggle through, first of all, car issues, and then visiting with friends out of state the last couple of weeks. They've been very gracious to do that for us, and we thank you for moving some things around. So go ahead and turn, if you don't mind, Daniel chapter 1 this morning. We'll read it in its entirety here in just a little bit. I got to looking back through some of the things on our recordings and whatnot and did not realize it's been about 10 years since I studied the book of Daniel. And I remember very well studying the book of Daniel. It was one of those times, 11 or so years ago, out cutting grass. And you know, when you cut grass and you're pushing that lawnmower and you're making circles around your yard, sometimes you just, you just do a little thinking, right? Well, that particular day, I had my headphones in my ear, and I am a fan, as you know probably by now, of the Christian group Casting Crowns. And there was a song that came across my little iPod as I was cutting grass, and it's called "What If His People Prayed?" And it talked about all the things that could happen if God's people would simply but pray and sit back and watch Him work. And that made me think about Daniel. Daniel was a true man of prayer, and we'll see that as we go through this book. But we want to take a little bit of a different approach to it this time and perhaps see if we can pick up on some things that maybe we didn't quite pick up the last time. Well, this morning, let me ask you a quick question. Have you ever heard of a gentleman by the name of Edwin Starr? I bet you have. You just didn't know who he is. Edwin Starr is famous for saying, "War, what is it good for?" Absolutely nothing. He sung that song many, many years ago. And as I approach the book of Daniel, there's a lot of that kind of stuff going on right now, isn't there? There's a war going on in Europe at the moment. There's rumors of wars all over the place. The stock market is rising and falling, and gas prices, well, they're just rising. And there's lots of other things that are going on all around our country and then, of course, all around our world. And we expect these kind of things. I mean, take just a second, not now, please, but take just a second and scroll through your social media. Almost will guarantee you, if you scroll through social media, some friend in some app is posting a Bible verse that tells us the days that we're living in are going to come. There'll be perilous times, there'll be wars, there'll be rumors of wars. We should expect these types of things to happen because we're promised in Scripture that they will. And people worry and they fret and they get upset over these things. Old story about a preacher that was saying, you know, that 95% of the things we worry about never come true. And a little old lady in the congregation said, "I knew it worked. I should just keep up my worrying," right? But that's what we tend to do as people. We get caught up in these things. We get caught up in these really big ticket items, like the International Space Station falling out of its orbit and landing on your house. It's probably just me, judging by the stairs that I'm getting back this morning. You probably don't worry about that a whole lot. It's going to be decommissioned, and it's going to fall one day, so just, you won't say Paul didn't tell you. The asteroids, did you know that an asteroid zoomed by the Earth but just a few months ago? Yeah, came within like something like 4 million miles of us. It was a close call. very close call, trying to turn us into the next set of dinosaurs, but it's probably just my worry about that too, isn't it? But what about the things that really kind of hit close to home on us, right? I mean, we all have things we have to take care of. We all have families that we worry about. We all have mortgages that we're trying to figure out, hey, how am I going to pay that this month? Goodness sakes, I saw a friend posted back to social media, a friend posted the other day, said the gas bill on their home went up by some X amount of dollars, and they even have levelized billing, and so do I. And I'm going, wait a second, it's level for a reason. What's going to happen here? You know, but these things, they weigh on us, right? We worry, we wonder about these things, stuff that we absolutely have no control over it whatsoever. My brother Jimmy likes to say, that's life, get over with it. You know, what can you do about it? How do we make sure that we accomplish everything that we have to accomplish? How do we make sure between work and home and school, and as these things just continue to pile up, how do we deal with that kind of stuff? What do we do with those kind of things? Well, we've got several examples in scriptures. We've got some pretty boneheaded examples, and we've got some pretty great examples of how to deal with some things. A couple that come to my mind immediately was Abraham. Abraham's traveling and comes up on this group of folks, and he looks at his wife and he says, hey, you know what? You're going to tell them you're my sister. That's a pretty boneheaded way to handle a stressful situation. Well, then there was David. David messed up. David had an affair with a lady and had a child by that affair. Well, the prophet Nathan comes to David and says, the baby's not going to live. David had an appropriate response. He got on his knees before the God of heaven in a very stressful situation. You all know that I really appreciate Mr. Bill McDonald and the things that he has to say, and no different here this morning. Mr. Bill McDonald wrote these words, man with all of his learning cannot thwart the plans of the Lord. And that's what I want us to concentrate on as we go through the book of Daniel. That here's a man who we will see very shortly had great learning, but he didn't try to thwart the plans of the Lord. He humbled himself before his God and submitted to the plans of the Lord. A man of great faith, a man who gives us an example of where to put your faith and where to put your trust, and that is in God and God alone. A man that's going to show us how to live in the face of adversity. He was truly a man of prayer. He was unfaithful. I'm sorry. Well, that's a bad mess up. He was very faithful, no matter what life threw at him. And I'd like to consider that. Would also like for you to consider along those thoughts of keeping Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17 in your mind throughout our study of this book. I'll read it for you real quick. The sentence is by decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will and sets over it the lowliest of men. And that's where we need to be, living our lives with an understanding that God is in control of these things. If you're a believer this morning, if you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus, you're supposed to be in this world doing His work, but you're not supposed to be of it. And He helps us while that we just happen to be in it for a little while, looking forward to the day. And I pray that I'm alive, and I hear that trumpet, and I hear that shout. And as much as I don't like flying, I can't wait for that flight to get caught up and to be raptured out of this world. We want to consider those things. Daniel has a very particular beginning to it. And it's an incredible thing. Chris Langham, I was not very familiar with Chris Langham. As I've mentioned before, I'm sort of concentrating 2022 on going through prophetic scriptures. I'm very interested in those types of things. And there's a ministry called Through the Word Ministries. And they have a nice little app, and they will take you through books of the Bible, step by step. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll give them a shot. I'll see what they have to say. Well, there was a gentleman that they had chosen to take you through the book of Revelation. His name was Chris Latham, and he had some wonderful things to say about the book of Revelation. I thought, well, let me see if that's the same guy that's going to do the book of Daniel for them in their app. And sure enough, it was. And Chris said this, and I thought it was a fantastic thing. He said, chapter 1 of Daniel is a humble beginning, which begs the question, where does character begin? Where do courage and integrity take their root? And he also tells us that Daniel is a story of kings and kingdoms, and we'll see that as we go through it. We'll also see that in these prophecies that Daniel is given, that it's ultimately really a story of but one king and one kingdom, and that being the Lord Jesus and His kingdom that is to come. So let's take just a few minutes. There's only 21 verses to this first chapter. Let's read it. You'll recognize some of these things. Our working title for the ministry this morning is No Thanks, I'll Just Have the Salad, Please, as we go through Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God. Then the king commanded Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some people of Israel, both of the royal family and of the nobility, youths without blemish, of good appearance and skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, understanding, learning, and competent to stand in the king's palace, and to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank, and they were to be educated for 3 years. And at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel he called Belteshazzar. And then here come the names that you will recognize the most. Hananiah he called Shadrach. Mishael he called Meshach. And Azariah he called Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And verse number 8 would continue, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank, and therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And just as we read in verse 2, look at the beginning of verse 9, and God gave. We see that phrase here again. God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see that you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? So you would endanger my head with the king. Now we'll pause there for just a second. When we say something, there's obviously a reason that we say those things, right? Have you ever noticed as you take a shower or a bath that the back of the shampoo bottle tells you how to use it and tells you don't get it in your eyes? Because somewhere, someone didn't understand how to properly wash their hair and they probably got it in their eyes and complained about it, right? So they had to put this on the back of the shampoo bottle. Well, notice what the chief of the eunuchs says here there in verse 10. So you would endanger my head with the king. That would kind of help me to understand that probably somewhere prior, this guy has seen Nebuchadnezzar say, off with his head, and someone has lost their mind, literally, in his presence. So kind of keep those sort of things in your mind, too. Then Daniel said, picking back up in verse 11, to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, test your servants for 10 days, Daniel says. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them in this manner and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who were eating or who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and wine, which they were to drink, and gave them vegetables. As for these four youths, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, And notice specifically at the end of verse 17, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And that's going to come to be very, very important as we continue through this book. At the end of the time, and what are we talking about when we say the end of the time? Well, if you were to glance back at verse 5, they were to be educated for 3 years. So at the end of the time, when the king had commanded that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king, and in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in his kingdom. And Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. So, eating vegetables for 10 days, young people, made Daniel and his companions 10 times better than the magicians and the enchanters in the kingdom. So there you have it. This is the original VeggieTales here this morning. Verse 1 through 5 kind of give us a historical setting. So let's go back through those real quick, talk about where we're at. First of all, we see that Israel and the nation is really under the judgment of God. This was the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. He was the sitting king of Judah at this time. As I understand it from historians and people way smarter than I am, he was made king by Pharaoh Necho. He was the son of Josiah. Josiah had named him Eliakim, but Pharaoh changed it to Jehoiakim. And he was about 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned for 11 years in Jerusalem. And you can read other places of Scripture about him, and we would read this phrase, "He did that which was evil in the sight of God." He was a wicked king. And so God ushers in this judgment over his people. And so where we are right now, we see there Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So we are somewhere about 6 to 605 BC. That's where we're at, when they came in and they took over Jerusalem. And again, that phrase that we pointed out in verse 2, God gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and some of the vessels of God. And then they were taken back to Shinar, and those vessels were placed into the house of the god of Nebuchadnezzar. And we will see very shortly in a couple of chapters that that is not something he ever should have done. You need not turn there, but if you'd like to note Isaiah 44:6. Isaiah 44:6, Isaiah says, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." And we're going to see Nebuchadnezzar come to that realization as we go through this book. People have said, and I think it's a lot of truth behind it, the treasures of God are the hearts of his people. And the hearts of his people, Israel, had fallen into idolatry. They had fallen into evil and wicked ways, and now God is punishing them for that. He's using the Babylonians to come in to take them over to do his will and to do his work, which is why that we read that phrase, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Israel," or king of Judah, "into Nebuchadnezzar's hand." We remarked Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17 talks about the Lord raises up and the Lord puts those in place that he would have in place. I remember very distinctly the first time I was studying through the book of Daniel, a long time ago now, there's a lot of talk about who was going to be elected president of the United States. And there was this great set of debates and all of this whimming and whamming around, and I think Hillary was involved, and of course Barack Obama eventually became the president, and people were talking about all these kind of things and how that Hillary was going to win this thing, and then they chose Barack over, and I said, "Hey guys, it really doesn't matter. It honest to goodness doesn't matter. If every single solitary person in the United States of America of voting age and registered voted for, let's just say, Hillary Clinton, if God didn't want her to be president of the United States, it wouldn't happen. It's just the way this works. He's the one who sets up those that are in authority." Nebuchadnezzar is going to have to learn that pretty well. We also can learn that from Jeremiah, too, where we spent some time earlier, that this time was coming for the nation of Israel. So notice what these youths were supposed to be. Now, before we get too much further into that, the Apostle Paul told young Timothy, "Let no one despise your youth." So here's Daniel. And I remember being a younger person. I'm still pretty young, I think, in some ways. But I remember being a younger person and going into various situations and thinking, no one else has ever been in this situation before. This has never happened before in the history of mankind. I'm the very first person to have gone to a brand new school. I'm the very first person to have ever lost a friend. I'm the very first person to have ever, you just put your name on it. Let me tell you what. There are four teenagers that we were introduced today, and that's what they were. They were little teenagers, and they had been in those situations. You talk about the ultimate new kid on the block. You go to a new school or you take on a new job as an adult and you think, this is pretty overwhelming. Daniel got moved to a brand new land with a heathen king. That's quite a move right there. But notice what we read about them. They're supposed to be certain youths. They're supposed to be without blemish, good appearance, skillful in wisdom. Now, why were they supposed to be skillful in wisdom? Well, you see, Nebuchadnezzar just didn't want a bunch of dummies in his court. He wanted some people he could train up. Now, he doesn't mean that he wanted these teenagers to come in here and know everything he expected them to know. We as parents shouldn't expect that either, right? Children have to learn. They have to grow. But what we have to do is we have to put them in a place where they can be successful. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He says, look, I'm trying to run a kingdom here. I need some people that I can set up to be successful. I need some people that are pretty smart, that I can train, that I can teach, and they can do what I want them to do. So he selects these youths, and they're skillful, they're knowledgeable, they're able to learn, and they're going to have this time of learning about the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. They were the best, and they were the brightest. And they were given this portion of the king's food. Now, it's been pointed out, and I think this is worth considering a little bit. Prior to this, if these young men were in a household that was faithful to God, and I think we can see throughout the course of our chapter that they were raised in homes that were faithful to the things of God. They were taught the things that they needed to know about their God, the God of Israel, the only true God. But yet, here they are, all of a sudden, being taught by hypocrites, being taught by foreigners, being taught by Gentiles, being taught by those who worshiped false gods. How, in the name of goodness, are they going to react? And then we're introduced to them. We're introduced to Daniel. We read there, first of all, in verse 6, Daniel means the judgment of God, or God my judge. And his name was turned over to be Belshazzar, which means Baal, protect the king or the prince of Baal. And then he had his buddy Hananiah with him. And Hananiah, that means grace and mercy, a gift of the Lord. And his name was turned over to Shadrach. And from what I understand, that means command of Aku. Aku was the sun god of the time, from what I understand. Then we have Mishael. And his name means who is asked for. And his name, Meshach, that he was given there in Babylon, has something to do with the moon god, as I understand it. And finally, his good buddy, Azariah. Azariah means he that hears the Lord, turned into the name Abednego, which means a servant of Nego, another one of their gods there in the land of Babylon. So here are these four young men trained in the ways of the God of Israel. They get taken captive. They're thrust into this new land. They're far away from their home. By the way, guys, come over here. We're going to teach you some things that we really need you to know, and we're going to give you brand new names. So the judgment of God, or God my judge in Daniel, grace, mercy, and gift of Hananiah, who is asked for in Mishael, and he that hears the Lord in Azariah. Every time their brand new names are used, they have to think about those Babylonian gods. Rather than being associated with names that were given to them that were honoring the God of Israel. Now, every time somebody calls them out, they've got to answer to this heathen God name. So what are they going to do? Well, the next couple of verses, verses 8 and 9, we see Daniel's resolve. Verse 8 tells us, Daniel resolved he would not defile himself with the king's food. Wow. It's a teenager, y'all. It's a young man in a foreign place where he doesn't hardly probably have any interaction with people he would have considered his friends before, except maybe these few. He says, you know what? I don't care where I'm at. I don't care if I'm in Babylon. Well, it would be like people at my house. I don't care if I'm in Auburn. You know, if I get stuck over in this place I don't like. I don't care if I'm over there. I'm going to be true to my God. And Daniel says, you know what? I don't care that I'm here. I'm not going to eat the king's food. He didn't know where that food came from. He didn't know if it was going to be food that under the laws that were given to Moses and the children of Israel that he was going to be able to eat. He didn't know if that was going to be food that was offered to their false gods and idols and then served over to them. And Daniel said, I'm not going to do it. All kinds of pressure, right? Oh, good grief, Daniel, just eat the cheeseburger. It's nothing. Just eat the thing, right? Daniel says, no. Oh, come on, Daniel. You're in a new place, new rules. It's okay. Daniel said, no. Might be a new place, but it's not new rules. My God's rules are the rules that I'm going to follow. And to be quite honest with you, I'm guilty of that. I probably said it while we were up in Tennessee, because I like to use this phrase, these people don't know me. Not really a good thing to do as a believer, is it? Daniel didn't do that. When you see that, that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank, and he says there in verse number 8, therefore he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. And verse 9 tells us God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. Hold your hand right there for just a second. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10. I almost gave you the wrong reference. Over to Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 7. This is a quote from the Old Testament, and it speaks of the Lord Jesus. Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written in me in the scroll of the book. Another little picture of the Lord Jesus in Daniel. I'm still going to do the will of my God. I'm not going to be subject in all things to this person, and I'm not going to partake in the things that they want me to partake of. He found favor there. I was reminded of Joseph. You might remember Joseph taken captive. He found favor with Potiphar, and then he found favor with the jailer. One of the things that we should remember in both of those instances with Joseph, and also here as we'll see with Daniel as we go through this little book, that the Lord was with him in what he did because he honored the things of the Lord, and he did those things which were right in the eyes of the Lord. The old saying is, and I'd never heard this old saying before, so I can't account for exactly how old it is, but the old saying says, as the twig is bent, so grows the tree. Train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it, Proverbs tells us. We see the beginnings of that here in Daniel, don't we? Now, if you look at the very last verse of Daniel chapter 1, he was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel is a young teenage boy. When we start in chapter 1, he's going to be a very old man by the time that we finish this book. As the twig is bent, so grows the tree. He's setting himself up for success because he's following the Lord his God. So he's granted that favor and that compassion. In 1 Samuel, we read these words, 1 Samuel 2 and 3, "Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promised that your house and the house of your father should go in and out before me forever. And now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who will honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." And we're going to see that throughout this book as well. Well, we've already mentioned verse 10. There's a problem. The chief eunuch, he's thinking that, you know what, if this doesn't work, then, boy, y'all are really putting me between a rock and a hard place. I'm going to lose my head over this thing. And, what's a very secular way of thinking, isn't it? It's a very secular way to think that a man can provide what is best for another man. You see, the king was giving of his best to these young people. You eat these foods, you drink this wine. This is the best my land has to offer. Daniel said, no. I bet my Lord can take care of me in ways that you never even dreamed of. So they come up with this solution. And this solution is found in verses 11 through 14, and it does not involve compromise on the part of Daniel and his friends. You might remember when we first started this morning, one of the things that we said was, as believers, we are to be in this world, but we're not to be of it. Well, the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12 and 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, and that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Though written many, many years after Daniel, Daniel's going to put that to the test throughout his life. So we see, test us, Daniel says, tell you what, in verse 12, why don't you just give us vegetables to eat and water to drink for 10 days? Y'all, I'm going to be really, really hungry for 10 days. That's not going to fly at my house by any stretch of the imagination. Well, you see, Daniel had gained favor, and he says, you know what? I tell you what, we'll do it. We will see. His friends were right there with him, weren't they? They didn't go anywhere. Yeah, we'll do it with you too. So we see in verse number 16, the steward took away their food and their wine to drink and gave them vegetables. You know why? Because they had passed the test of the 10 days. And we're again reminded in the last part of our little chapter here, verses 17 through 20, of these four youths. And notice what they received in return for their faithfulness to God. They were given learning and skill in all literature and wisdom. And that's exactly what was supposed to have been done, right? Verse number 4 tells us that they were supposed to learn and be competent to stand in the king's palace, and they were to be taught the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So God gave them that ability. Now, what did this do for them? Well, it put them in a very unique place. I've mentioned before, and it's a fictional series, but I still enjoyed it. The Left Behind series, right? It's a fictional series that I really enjoyed reading, and I'm not very much of a reader. But there's a character in that series by the name of Raymond Steele. And Raymond is a pilot. And through the course of the events, his family was raptured away. And through a course of events, Raymond gets saved. And that's sort of where I differ from this book. But anyway, stick with me. It's a fictional story, right? Raymond winds up working with other believers who were in other places and becomes pilot for the Antichrist. So he's able to have all the inside information. He's got the ear of the guy in charge. These four youths, they were loyal to the things of the Lord. They didn't accept the things of the earth. And God put them in a unique place where they had the ear of the ruler of the day. They had his trust. And he leaned on them. And we read in verse number 19, the king spoke with them. You know how hard it is to get an audience with the king? I mean, Laura can't just walk up and knock on Buckingham Palace and say, I'm here to see Elizabeth. It doesn't work that way. These guys would speak with the king, and none was found among everyone. None was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And therefore they stood before the king, and as we mentioned, they were 10 times better. And finally, our last little verse as we wrap this up this morning sets the scene for the future. Daniel was there until the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel was there for a long, long time. He grew to be a very old man in captivity in the land of Babylon. And we will see as we go through, his friends were right there with him. We'll see that very shortly. Not too many chapters away, they find themselves in a very heated place one afternoon. We find that Daniel finds himself in a den of lions one day amongst many other things. So, that lays the groundwork for the book of Daniel. And we have to ask ourselves, so what? Well, just as we had already considered, be content in whatever situation you find yourself in. You're not there by accident. You're not there because you accidentally... I grew up in Needham, Alabama. I'm not living in Prattville by accident, right? There's a work that God has for me to do right here. Several years ago, Laura and I went to the Carolinas and we visited with our friends, the Bramsons. Because at that time, I was doing a tiny, tiny little bit of web work for the Bramsons and the King of Glory ministry that they have and the things that they were doing. And I would put things on their website for them from time to time. And Laura and I, we were praying and we were considering these things. And we thought, you know, let's just go up there and visit and let's see. This might be where the Lord is leading us to go. Let's go. So we took a long weekend over a holiday. We went up, we visited with the Bramsons. We met several members of their team. We saw some things that they were doing. We said, okay. So we came home and we continued to pray about these things. And it was almost as if this little light bulb went off for the two of us. And the Lord says, hey, now that I know you're willing, why don't you just look around? And the next thing we know, this ladies' conference is in full bloom. Laura's doing work at the Crisis Pregnancy Center. I've had opportunity to go some other places and speak to some other assemblies. It was like the Lord said, okay, now that I know you will, sit still and let's go to work. Be content in the situation that you're in. When the Lord's ready to move you, He'll move you. Secondly, rely on God to meet your needs. Daniel wasn't going to rely on the king's meat and the king's wine to meet his physical needs. He says, let me tell you what, I don't know where that stuff's coming from. I don't know where it's been. I don't know what its use is. Why don't you give me vegetables and water? And my buddies here too. And judge us after 10 days. We'll honor our God and you see where things land. And we see exactly where they land. And finally, for goodness sakes, pick good company. Keep yourself, if you're a believer, keep yourself in fellowship with other believers. Don't run around with anybody that you feel like you want to run around with. Listen again at Daniel's friends. They were grace, mercy, gift of the Lord. He who is asked for, and he that hears the Lord. Those three are incredibly good people to keep company with if we just go by their names alone. So there we have it. A nice little kickoff to the book of Daniel. I'm anxious to see what Daniel gets himself into. That's a poor phrase, isn't it? I'm anxious to see what the Lord allows to happen in the life of Daniel going forward. I hope that you are too. And remember, be content with where you are. The Lord has promised that He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And you're going to see that in the next 11 chapters as we make our way, Lord willing, through this book. Father, we thank you again for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be together. Thank you for these sure promises that we find in your word, these wonderful examples of how you care for your own. Father, we pray that you would help us to be like Daniel, that you would help us to rely on you, that you would help us, Father, to commit ourselves to your things, to do your work, to be found within your will. Pray now that you would dismiss us with your blessing, care for us and protect us for the rest of our day, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.